Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
And welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Austin. Hello, Austin.
If you're out on the road, being the lonely and so cold.
Is this where I come in?
Yeah, you're the daughter.
Call my name? Wait.
Call me by your name.
Call me by your name?
Yeah.
Oh, is it because they have the same name?
No, it's because I was talking about that movie that had the cannibal guy and Timothée Chalamet.
What?
Well, this has been thoroughly confusing. How are you, Alex?
Hi, I'm good. I have skipped all of the intros to the Gilmore Girls, so I haven't memorized the lyrics.
Tell us more about Gilmore Girls.
Okay, so it finally happened, you guys. After 25 years, I have finally watched Gilmore Girls for the first time. Or started watching it anyway.
I basically a Clockwork Orange her.
Yes. Okay, so what had happened was, yesterday, Austin came over to visit me, because I was very nice of him. And we ran some errands, and then when we got back, we're like, let's watch something. So the original plan was we were going to watch Horizons, Pokemon Horizons, season 2? No, 3. And that didn't work because my computer is crappy and my TV is crappy and nothing was working. So Austin was like, forget this. And so he made an executive decision to put on a different show. And that show was, drumroll please.
Was it Gilmore Girls, perhaps?
It was perhaps Gilmore Girls. Which, honestly, you know what? I wasn't expecting to like it. I thought, oh, you know what? I know you guys have been talking about this for years. Ever since I've known you, you guys have talked about Gilmore Girls.
The boys in your life have been talking about Gilmore Girls.
Yes, all the boys in my life. And, well, Leslie, too, have been talking about Gilmore Girls. And I just never had seen a single episode. Not even when it was like, well, no, that might be a lie. I would have come on like once or twice back in the day. But I never really watched it. And so yesterday was the first time, and I liked it, so.
Sometimes I wonder where you've been for the past several decades.
You know what? It's a good question. I don't even know where I've been. Honestly, my life has been absorbed by Pokemon. That's all I do, is Pokemon.
I'm actively fighting against that.
I know. Austin's reached the point, despite the fact that we do a Pokemon podcast every week, he's like, no more Pokemon.
Speaking of which, the Legend of ZA DLC is coming out in a few days.
Oh my god. Yeah, and guess what? Pokemon Gen 10's next year too. Woo-hoo.
Oh, almost definitely.
Guys, we're kidding. We love Pokemon.
Any Gilmore Girls thoughts? Thoughts on the characters? Thoughts on the premise? Thoughts on the tone?
Okay, let's see. I'm only on episode 9 or 10, I believe.
Which I love that episode.
It's the dance.
Yes.
Or the formal, or whatever. And I only got, like, 10 minutes into it before I had a panic moment and realized I was going about my morning, sat down, made some coffee, put on Gilmore Girls, la-di-da, and I was like, oh, shit, I have a Pokemon episode to watch and a podcast to record.
That's what Gilmore Girls does. It sucks you into the world of Stardust Hollow.
I know. Before I answer your question, though, yes. So Austin was very gracious. We tried to do something different. We've been trying to rearrange our schedule and record at a different time, but that didn't work today because I got enthralled by Gilmore Girls.
You were in the gazebo.
I was.
You were at Luke's Diner.
I'm enjoying it so far. I like the premise. The premise, if you don't know about Gilmore Girls, is there's a spunky single mom who had a daughter early in her life. And she kind of cut ties with her wealthy, affluent parents. And in order to pay for her daughter's private education, she must reconnect with these parents and ask them for money. And on the condition that they have, like, a dinner with them every week. And
as Lorelai pauses to sip her coffee.
Yes, thank you. Oh, and also, yes, I'm fully a Lorelai today.
You have a very Lorelai outfit on, actually, with, like, you got the, I don't even know what you would call it, the tied up handkerchief on your head with the hair sticking out.
I have a beanie on.
Oh, okay. Is that what that is?
I'm sorry. I don't have my hot pink shirt and my cut off jeans shorts and my cowboy boots on. No, I do not. But yeah, no, it's a cute premise. And then, of course, like, they live a charmed life in a small New England town. And they're so hot and attractive, and everybody in town loves them. And they're best friends with everybody in the town.
Yeah.
Totally a realistic outlook on life.
Mm.
I do think that Rory is self-centered. I think that Lorelai is immature. I think they have a very strange codependent relationship.
It's interesting that it's such like a feel-good, cute, heartwarming show about terrible people who don't realize they're terrible people.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, I mean, I like some of the supporting characters. I like Michelle, the Squidward-type character, I guess, if you will. I don't know where this is going to go. I have no idea what the character arcs or story arcs are, but I'm starting to warm up to the grandma. I think she's, like, making progress.
Because she's the best actor on the show.
Yeah, she is. But yeah, no, we'll see how it goes. There's 7 seasons, so let's hope I can maintain my interest and go that far.
7 seasons and a reboot.
Oh, and a reboot, yes. Will you watch the reboot with me?
It's only on Netflix, so we'd have to find it.
Oh, dang.
The reboot's crazy. It's crazy.
I believe you.
Okay.
You don't have to watch. I know you said, like, keep watching without me, which I have been doing. And believe me, I'm not going to make you sit through it. I know you've watched it, like, 1,000 times.
Oh, well, guess what I did when I left you?
No.
I went home and I watched 3 episodes.
Oh, my God. Wait, on season 1 or?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You couldn't help yourself.
I got up through the Willy Wonka night with Dean.
Oh, I just did that one last night, too.
I love the winter episode that follows that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, with Max.
That's such an awkward situation.
Oh, Max is a terrible person.
Oh, he is terrible. He's like, there's nothing in the code of ethics that say I can't date your mom, even though you're my
bullshit. Student. There's nothing in the code of ethics that says you can't date your mom. I know,
that is so bullshit. Okay, anyway, we could go on and on about Gilmore Girls, but...
All right, let's go on and on about Pokemon instead.
Any news in the Pokemon world or anything you want to talk about like Legends EA or anything? Or
I don't think there's any news, but we did forget to answer a question a while back.
Yes. Guys, we're sorry. Pokemon Megastar had posited a question to us a couple weeks back, gave us some homework, and we said we were going to do it the next episode.
And now it's been like 3 or 4 episodes, and we completely forgot.
We're sorry, but we thought about it and remembered, and so we are here today to right this wrong and answer that question.
All right. The question was, what would you do in a contest appeal? What Pokemon would you use, and what would you do?
Yes.
So I think we decided we were going to do a solo appeal with 1 Pokemon.
Yes.
And then we're going to do a double appeal with 2 Pokemon, but it has to include the Pokemon you've already used in the previous appeal.
Yeah, that was the challenge that we made to ourselves last night. I was like, you know, it'd be fun. We have to do the same Pokemon, but incorporate like a double and go from there, build off of it. So
let's take turns. Let's go back and forth. Who wants to go first? I guess we'll flip the coin.
Yeah, flip the coin to see who goes first. Because I know you said right before we started that you were still thinking about it. So hope you thought about it.
Mine's a bit tentative. I'll figure it out as I go. I'll live in the moment.
Okay.
I guess I'm going first.
Oh, God. No time like the present.
Okay, so obviously for my appeal, I'm going to use an old standby, Donphan.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Yeah, Donphan's going to come out, and it's going to make a splash with a quick defense curl attack to show off its tiresome body.
Tiresome?
Get it? Tiresome?
Hello, hello, yes.
Then it's going to use, while still in the circle, it's going to use a rock tomb attack. And it's going to make the stage become all, like, rocky. And there's going to be outcroppings everywhere. It's going to be huge. It's going to be crazy. There's going to be, like, all sorts of, like, rocks and all sorts of directions and angles and paths that appear all around it. It's going to be wild. And then we're going to use rollout while still in defense curl. And we're going to go around the rocks. And it's going to be, like, a Hot Wheels situation. We're going to go and jump up the slopes and such. And go from rock to rock and ping around and, like, spin and all go in all sorts of directions. And eventually it's going to end up with a big jump. And then Donphan's going to slam down with all the weight of an elephant to the ground while using an earthquake attack,
causing
all of the rock tomb rocks to explode in a million pieces, and the dust is going to settle, and there's going to be Dawn Phan posing.
And everybody in the audience has died.
Yes.
Remarkable.
Remarkable, indeed.
Okay, I have to ask, did you come up with that whole appeal sequence just now, or did you, like, actually think about it?
I'm looking at a Gen 3 boob list and coming up with it as I go.
Wow, okay, I'm impressed. I am very impressed. I am very impressed. Wow. Dang, now I'm all sweaty because I'm put on the spot. My first Pokemon, this was kind of hard because there was a lot of, like, favorites that I wanted to use, but then I was thinking, like, okay, if we're going to have a double duet thing going on, then I need to pick something that might work together, like be on a theme. So I know this is going to come out of left field, but I settled on Delphox.
You like Delphox?
I do like Delphox. And maybe I was slightly inspired by, like, Legend ZA and the fact that you can get the Kalos starters and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do like Austin. I'm going to go through the list of moves and just come up with something.
Oh, you don't have a plan? Okay.
No, I don't have a plan. Okay, so I was thinking, and this might be a cop-out, because I think Psychic Pokemon kind of can do, like, anything. But I'm looking at Scarlet and Violet's move list, by the way, since Delphox did not exist in Gen 3. I hope I can do that.
Sure.
It's too late now. So I'm thinking it comes out with, like, something cool and dynamic, like a flame charge. And it's, like, wreathed in fire. And then it stops, and maybe it, like, puts up, like, a light screen attack. And maybe we could do, like, I don't know, some kind of will-o-wisp. And, like, all the little reflections would kind of, like, it'd be, like, a big mirror room of, like, all these little, like, will-o-wisps or something. And it would be...
Remarkable.
Like an infinity mirror or something with all these, like, will-o-wisps. I don't know. And then maybe we could do something like Sunny Day to kind of make it all, like, shiny in there. And then end with, like, a psychic, like, moving all the will-o-wisps around to, like, some kind of cool pattern or something like that. And then everything can dissolve in sparkles, because who doesn't love sparkles?
Of course, it has to end in sparkles.
Or maybe, like, a cool fire blast or something. I'm not sure. I know that's kind of, like, a cheap answer, but that was my initial thought.
Fair enough. Are you ready for my double appeal now?
Yes, I'm curious.
Well, my other Pokemon is going to be Heracross, because I'm picking my favorites.
Ooh.
I'm going to have them not work as a team, necessarily. They're not going to work in conjunction. They're going to be oppositional forces.
Ooh.
And we're going to stage, like, a kaiju battle, kind of.
Whoa, that's cool.
Between the two of them. And we're going to start off, and Dawn Phan still has the same moveset. So it uses its rock tomb and hurdles rocks through the air at Heracross. But Heracross uses Brick Break and breaks the rocks midair.
Nice.
Then Dawn Phan is going to use its rollout move, and it's going to leap toward Heracross. You know, it's going to get a rolling start and then jump through the air and kind of come down on it. And Heracross is going to use its Endure attack and take the hit and bounce it off. And it's going to then use Mega Horn to pick up Dawn Phan, who's still in a rollout. And it's going to use it, and I'm going to put out some bowling pins.
And oh my God.
It's going to use Dawn Phan as a bowling ball and get a strike.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Love it. I love it so much.
That was kind of a weak one.
No worries. I like that. I like how you took the opposite approach of, like, what most people would do, I think, and have them be oppositional versus complementary.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there. That, okay, yeah, so I'm opposite. I'm one of those complimentary people. So I was thinking my second Pokemon was going to be, in keeping with, like, the witchy theme, because I was trying to think of, like, who would go with Delphox or whatever. I was thinking Chandelure.
Ooh.
So you'd have, like, Chandelure come out. So, like, I was thinking at the end of the appeal with, like, the Fire Blast or something, then all of a sudden Chandelure could come out, but it would be hidden at first by, like, a smog attack or something, and then it would, like, come through the haze. Like, all the sparkles and the haze and the remnants of the Fire Blast are, like, all around it, which would be cool for the whole chandelier thing.
Yeah, so, like, it lights up. Got it.
Yes. And so it could kind of, like, come down from the smoke and, I don't know, do some kind of ghostly thing, Nightshade maybe, astonish and like wow the crowd. And then it could do Will-O-Wisp in tandem with Delphox, and they both can like swirl the Will-O-Wisps around.
Mm.
I don't know, something like that. I didn't really think the second part through very well.
Yeah, the double one's harder.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Chandelure knows a lot of moves. Does it know more as like a Litwick or something? Let me go back.
Probably. It's because it's a stone evolution.
Ah, you're right. Okay, let me go and see what Litwick can do. Oh, it doesn't have a whole lot of moves either. Litwick, oh my god. You're letting me down. Okay, yeah, that's it. And maybe it can like dissolve into like nothing and Delphox could be standing there. It could use acid armor or something like that.
Ooh, acid armor.
Yeah, that's what I've got. That's my moves.
All right, people, you get to pick who's moving on to the battle round.
Austin, for sure.
Give us a score.
Yeah, that would be great. Who had the better appeal? I feel like it's funny. You took the more physical, like combat approach, and I took the more, like,
we had special. A pretty masculine versus feminine thing going energy. On there, didn't
we? That's a good pick. I really like that. You guys out there will have to tell us what you guys would do.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. All right, so speaking of Pokemon Megastar questions, Pokemon Megastar has left comments on our Team Aqua versus Team Magma episode.
Excellent.
With a comment that kind of has me convinced that Pokemon Megastar is actually my nephew in disguise?
Oh my goodness. Could you imagine?
We'll have to confirm or deny that. Pokemon Megastar says that they have a similar problem to Alex when it comes to lending and borrowing things. So I guess stealing them.
Hey, I returned it, so it's not stealing.
Okay.
It was on temporary stolen leave. Status, but yeah, sure then leave. It returned to you, so. And it was in pristine condition, I might add. I had it for all those years and in between two moves, and it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that.
Speaking of Black Friday sales, Pokemon Megastar got a Switch 2 bundled with Mario Kart World and got Legends EA.
I am low-key a little jealous.
I am high-key jealous. A lot jealous.
Just as a side note, we did go out and braved the store, not on Black Friday, but we were out after the fact. It's sad to say that there wasn't really any good deals. I wish that the Switch had been like discounted a little. I might have done it, but...
We should have looked at microphones.
Oh, God. Well, I was bitter because I just bought a microphone that like sucks. I'm actually back to using my old one, so...
Pokemon Megastar has not played the Switch 2 very much, but their brother has. The brother has zoomed through Legends EA already.
Already? Wow.
Next game on the list is either Kirby Air Riders or Donkey Kong Bonanza. Oh, I'm jealous! Pokopia looks nice, but the fact that it's a game key card does lessen it. I don't understand the game key card thing at all. I could have sworn, like, PlayStation has been doing that for years already, though, right?
How does it differ from, like, just a digital download?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna look this up. We're gonna put it to rest. Okay, it says game key cards are a hybrid of physical and digital game ownership, requiring a download but needing the physical card to be inserted into the Switch to play, unlike fully digital games. What? Okay, so the game key card is a physical card that you put into the Switch, but it's a license to play the game. The game is not on the card itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not tied to your account.
But is that not any different from every video game I've bought in the past 8 years where you get the disc, you put it in, and it downloads?
See, that's what I thought. Like, I thought that's what happened when you put, like, a PlayStation game in or an Xbox game. It's a license, per se, or at least a partial game on the disc, and the rest is, like, online. I have no idea.
I don't know the world of video games. I just don't know.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there's a chart.
Oh, boy.
It says the game key card requires the physical card. The license is on the card, not the account. The digital game is linked to your account. The game key card does not contain the full game. It's a key to download it, whereas the digital version is the full game data on the console itself. A digital game cannot be resold or transferred and is tied permanently to the account, but the game key card can be sold or lent to other people.
So basically, they're not locking your purchase to your user account. It's locked to the physical item, the token.
Yes. So the game itself is not on the card. It's a license to play it, but you can transfer that to somebody else. Like in the event that you finished a game and you wanted to sell it, you could sell it like a physical game card.
Okay. That doesn't sound so bad to me.
I mean, maybe we might ruffle some feathers with saying that, but honestly, I mean, while I'm not a fan of not owning fully the content that you purchase, like I'm not a fan of that practice at all. Unfortunately, it seems to be the way that the game industry is shifting to.
I think the flaws of that would be you don't know when theoretically these things can become no longer available for purchase. Like, you could have the physical item, but you could not download the content. I think that is a concern for archival purposes. I agree with that. Because, you know, retro video games are a huge thing. You know, people are purchasing and playing these things decades later. So there's nothing to guarantee that in even 5 years, something that you buy is going to be available for download. Because the servers might shut down for whatever reason. There might be rights issues. There might be legal reasons. So I understand the instinct of it being like, ew, we don't like this.
Yeah, I don't know how you are going to plan for the eventuality of, you know, something maybe reaching its end of life cycle. Like, it's a completely different environment than it was now. Like, take, for example, today, you could pull out your old original PlayStation, pull out a PS1 game, put it in, and play it. And the game is almost 30 years old. There is no online support BS. There's none of that. You just put it in. It's all on the disc. You just play it. You don't have to worry about putting it in and then some error message popping up and saying this is no longer supported or the server's like, you know, no longer maintained or whatever it is. I do worry about that. And I think you raise a good point, because what are you going to do in 5, 10, 15 years when they're no longer maintaining the Pocopia server, to use as an example, and you can't play the damn thing anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you supposed to do? Where are you supposed to get it? You already bought the game. I don't know. It's really concerning in that way.
I guess I've always kind of been a lone wolf, one might say. Because I don't like playing video games where you have to interact with people you don't know very much. If only because of that factor of you don't know how long it's going to last. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, something like Friday the 13th, the game.
The what now?
Friday the 13th, the game.
Oh my god.
It's no longer available. You can go and buy the physical game and not play it because the servers don't exist anymore.
Are you serious? That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I think as Nintendo fans, we have the famous Nintendo Wi-Fi connection no longer exists. So for some of those Nintendo games, you just can't play them hardly at all. You know what I mean?
Unless they can guarantee that there's always going to be some kind of, like, offline support, so you can at least access the single player mode of something. I mean, I just don't know any other alternative. Like,
but what about all the things that don't have offline modes or single player modes?
See, that's the curse. There should not be games that are requiring an internet connection or requiring an online anything to be able to play it. Like, that's, in my opinion, it's silly. I'm with you. I don't play games to play multiplayer or play with others. I like to have a single player experience, and that's it. I'd never do online stuff.
Do you remember that week you got obsessed with Among Us about 7 years after else had already discovered it?
Yeah. I don't know. It just raises a lot of questions on buying the game and ownership of it and, like, what happens when that support is gone.
Is it consumer unfriendly? Yes.
Absolutely. Are we going to buy Pocopia anyway? Yes, we are.
Almost definitely.
We're sellouts. All right, anyway. What else has been going on, Austin? Any other feedback?
Yes. In referring to the Team Magma, Team Aqua episode, I think Pokemon Megastar agrees with my theory on they were using it. They were using their space laser thing to test on Mount Chimney with the goal of making more volcanoes to create more land later. Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking.
Okay, yeah.
MVP for the episode is Team Aqua and Team Magma Grunts for having varying designs. So they all aren't like a copy-paste of the same person over and over again. That's a good point.
Yeah, no same face syndrome here.
Shout out to the buff Team Aqua Grunt and the pointy-headed Magma Grunt. Oh, you were paying more attention to this than I was. I wasn't paying attention to those people.
Pointy head?
Pointy head Magma Grunt.
Okay, I'll have to go back and look for that.
My LVP is Maxie and Archie for not appearing in the episode. Seriously, when are we going to see them? I hope it's not only during the final conflict advanced battle, but I'm guessing yes. Yeah, you might win that bet.
That's too bad. I feel like they could have had a lot of, like, little moments that they could have contributed, or we could at least seen them. Honestly, the twerps don't have to be involved with everything. Why couldn't Maxie and Archie have little conflicts among themselves on their own without the twerps? Like, and then at least they could have, like, their major confrontation with the twerps there later.
One final question. Austin, what was your team for Legends EA? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the answer was, I didn't have a team for Legends EA.
What? What kind of answer is that?
I no longer confine myself to six Pokemon. Ever since they made it so the box system is available at any time, I've always been rotating stuff. So essentially, I was rotating between all the Pokemon that have Mega Evolutions.
Oh, okay.
It kind of always bites me in the ass because then I'm completely underleveled. But thankfully, the Legends games give you a lot of rare candies, so I was able to catch up with that. So I basically had a team of about, like, 30 Pokemon.
So did you have any mainstays that, like, sort of stayed in the slot, or did you just rotate everything?
My mainstays were my starter, Meganium, the three Kalos starters. Most of the Pokemon that the game itself gives you, I kind of gave priority, because I was like, oh, well, I guess those are the canonical Pokemon my trainer has. So, like, the shiny Mareep, I kept that around as a shiny Ampharos. Stuff like that.
That's interesting. I have to ask. I know some people have differing opinions. I, myself, have always, 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 in every single Pokemon game I've ever played, kept my starter in of the team slots, no matter what. I've never...
Oh, no. I'll box that thing. But it'll still be on my rotation.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I have never played a game where I don't have my starter Pokemon in the team for every single trainer battle, every single gym battle. Like, it's there.
Well, ever since they made it so the experience share is for all Pokemon, that's inconvenient because then your starter gets overleveled if you have it in your team at all times.
That is true. I did notice that. So going back to Sword and Shield, I'm playing through that currently. However, I think I mentioned this a couple episodes back. I just now, for the first time, bought the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra. So I did go to the Isle of Armor, like, pretty much right away. And I didn't know this, but apparently you get, like, an item, the XP charm. And that crap will level up your Pokemon like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my personal challenge to myself is to not overlevel my Pokemon based on whatever the gym leader level is. So, like, I haven't gotten to Milo yet, but his Pokemon's level 20. So I can't go above level 20 until I get to him. This is the first time where I've kind of taken my starter out, because otherwise it would be way too strong before I got there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I see a lot of people, like, make videos where they do these little challenges and they box their starter immediately because they don't treat it as their starter. They're like, oh, I'm going to do a, you know, an ice Pokemon only run or a fairy Pokemon only run or whatever. And so they box their starter right away. I can never bring myself to do it personally.
And how does that make you feel?
Sad. When I have to put my starter away, I feel like I'm abandoning it.
As I'm writing notes in a sketch pad.
Why are you writing it down? Oh, are you my therapist?
I am, actually.
I feel like I'm abandoning it. It's like my child.
How does that make you feel?
Lonely. Well, that's cool, Austin. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the ZA experience. I look forward to playing it myself. I'm going to wait a little while, though.
I got more Legend ZA to come with that DLC.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what the experience of that is going to be. Like I said, I didn't play through the DLC of Scarlet and Violet, and I'm not sure I have any intention of doing that. But I just wonder what Mega Dimensions is going to be like. Did you play, I don't know if I asked you this, did you play all the way through Teal Mask and Indigo Disc?
Of course.
Okay. And what was your thoughts on that?
Kieran has one of the better storylines of any Pokemon character in the games.
Okay.
There's some interesting twists and turns that happen.
Yeah, I spoiled myself. Like I said, I don't think I have an intention of playing it. I watched somebody else's video.
Oh, okay.
So I know what happens.
I love the way Master Balls are integrated into the plot at multiple points in Scarlet and Violet.
I did see what happened in Indigo Disc.
Okay.
With the Master Ball. I was literally shocked when I watched that.
There's another Master Ball moment that happens in the main story that's like, ooh!
Of Scarlet and Violet?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Keep us informed about Mega Dimensions. I'm curious.
Big Bang Megastar, are you related to me? Well, let me know.
Episodes do we have this week?
Going for Aspinda and All Torkoal No Play Makes Ash a Dull Boy.
Wait, is it? Did I mess this title up? I put All Play and No Torkoal. Is that wrong?
It's All Torkoal No Play.
Oh no, shit. I messed it up.
All Play No Torkoal?
All Play No Torkoal.
Well, without our episode title.
Oh my god, I am so silly. You know what? It was because I was distracted earlier, you guys. My annoying neighbor was being very disruptive during the pre-recording that we did, and I got all distracted.
I thought you were, like, distracted by, like, the Magic of Gilmore Girls and Miss Patty's dance class or something.
This whole morning has been a distraction. I'm losing it. Ugh.
You're doing the flash challenge for the Spinda episode, and I'm doing the walkthrough.
I think I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
So the twerps are geographically challenged. The map makes no sense. I don't know where we are, but they're trying to go back to Mauville and eventually to Petalburg to challenge Norman. Somehow on the way, they encounter a very aristocratic girl who's lost a Spinda, and they have to find it. It has a mark that's a heart on its head. Team Rocket's there at every freaking turn. They will not go away. They try to catch the Spinda. There's a giant robo Spinda. And then they get the Spinda back for her fiance. Time. Oh my god.
What'd you think of this one?
What did I think of this one?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty by the numbers episode.
It's your formulaic Pokemon episode. Was there some weird character of the day shit going on? Absolutely.
All right. Feel free to interrupt me as I go through this. And
critique. I always do. You don't need to ask. I always do.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the map. I hate how they were only thinking about Ash's next gym battle and not at all about May's contest stuff. They're not even considering where she needs to go.
Well, it's Ash land and Ash time and everything's Ash, so.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the map?
Okay, go talk about the map. Go for it.
I was just confused. I was confused. I had to pull up a map to look at it.
Like the in-game map of Hoenn?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to pull up a map of Hoenn right now.
The Hoenn region, I love Hoenn, but it was confusing. There's a lot of backtracking when you play this game.
Mm-hmm. Which I liked. I like that a lot.
Oh, I do too. It makes sense in the context of like when you play the game, but like hearing them talk it out and like in the context of the anime, I was like, what? What's happening? So let me look at the map too. Okay, so they're in Lava Ridge right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they just left Lava Ridge?
I think they're at the McDonald's at Lava Ridge.
So technically, what would that be? Like Route 112?
Oh god, I don't know what I'm looking at.
I don't know what you're looking at either.
I don't know.
So they're in the little area that's connecting Route 111, which is the big route that has the desert on the top half of it, right?
Sure.
And they're trying to get back to Mauville, which is just directly south from Route 111. They said, okay, so Brock suggests, instead of going to Four Tree City, because they'd have to pass through a big desert, that they should go back to Mauville, which confused me because you can't get to Four Tree City from Route 111. You have to go back through Mauville anyway, and then over to Route 118 and then up Route 119. So unless they have like a way that they could pass directly through the tree area?
I think that's why they're in the goddamn woods so many times, is because Brock is like, forget the routes, we're just going to go through the tree line. And he just like wanders into the green space that you can't access.
Out of bounds.
Yeah, that's what happens in the next episode.
Well, that is true. We end up somewhere that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, we walk out of bounds. That's the whole plot of that episode.
So maybe he's thinking that they can just cut in between Route 111 into that green space and directly over to 119. But, like, okay, in the game, to get back to Petalburg from Lava Ridge, you have to go down to Mauville, then over to Verdanturf, then take the Rusturf Tunnel to Rustboro, go through the woods, and then go back to Petalburg.
The easiest thing to do would have been to say May has a contest in Verdendurf Town. Let's head in that direction and then go to Petalburg while we're there.
Ugh, that would make too much sense.
So, navigation has never been the twerp's strong suit.
Clearly.
Nor ours, for that matter, actually. For some reason, Brock and his paper maps are in charge now. I don't know what happened to Max in the PokéNav. That's completely fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, we met Mr. Devonstone for no reason and had that wacky adventure just to not use the PokéNav. Gross.
Well, once we leave McDonald's, we end up finding our Pokemon of the day to be featured, which is a Spinda. Oh, isn't Spinda so fun and cute? It's drunk all the time. And each Spinda has its own unique snowflake spots on its face. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
And one of the Spinda has a heart shape on its right eye. Isn't that cute? That turns out to be the important Spinda because our frilly frou-frou lady Claire runs up and she's like, I need that Spinda. It's my lucky Spinda. And everyone's like, that's weird, but okay.
Why is there always like old money people running around with like butlers?
In the wilderness. Yes, she has her butler Royce. Like Rolls Royce, get it? Hey. Just generic rich lady who we don't know anything about, Harley. We gotta catch this lucky Spinda. Brock is weirdly in the spotlight this episode because he's obsessed with Claire. Because, you know, she's so interesting and has so much depth to her, I guess.
She's literally like a stale biscuit. There's nothing to her. She's just so plain.
There's nothing to her. Team Rocket, of course, is spying, and they want the lucky Spinda too because they want to use it for lottery tickets.
That's funny.
The main running gag in this episode is Brock keeps on finding the Spinda, but it's an unlucky Spinda because it has a broken heart symbol.
I loved this, actually. I knew it was never going to happen, but I wanted Brock to accidentally catch it.
I kind of do too, just because it'd be funny. And I guess Spinda would be kind of a funny twerp Pokemon because it would, like, you know, stumble around and cause havoc.
Okay, how fun, I just had a thought, how fun would it be to have had Spinda with the broken heart symbol on its head pop out every single time Brock got rejected?
Ooh, that'd be way better.
Like, and it would just be one of those comic relief moments. You know how, like, Wobbuffet pops out for comic relief? Like, that would be the ball popper for Brock, like, kind of dancing around in the background as Brock's, like, crying.
So you don't want it to physically assault Brock. You just want it to pop out and be like, I'm here.
Yeah, just, like, to, like, laugh at his, like, heartbreak or something. I don't know. I thought it would be funny just to have it as, like, a running joke every single time he gets rejected.
It's only a running joke for this one episode.
Too bad. There was potential there.
I kind of think the thing is, Brock kind of has enough Pokemon as is. You know, he never uses them. They never show up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he would never call it out, per se, for a battle. But it would just be one of those, like, visual joke gag Pokemon. You know how, like, Krogunk comes out to, like, poke him in the butt every single time he gets in trouble?
Anyway, they keep on chasing the Lucky Spinda around. It's, like, clearly wants nothing to do with them because he keeps on running away in terror from them every time they see it.
I noticed that. I'm like, this thing does not want anything to do with you. Like, step off, Claire.
Team Rocket gets into their usual wacky antics. First, their plan is to teddy bear nap a Teddy Ursa, dress it like a Spinda, and use it to lure in Spindas. But that just ends up with the Mother Ursa ring attacking them. So instead, they dress up Meowth like a Spinda and tie him to a rock. Meanwhile, a handsome young man who has sparkles around him because he's an anime character is walking up the hiking path. Who could he be?
He has the power of God and anime on his side.
Trainers, which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Seedot?
Oh no.
Surskit, Delibird, or Seal?
What?
Surskit, Delibird, or Seal?
I'm gonna say Delibird because it's got two type advantages over Seedot.
Trainers, if you chose Delibird, you're wrong. It was actually Surskit.
What? Wait.
No, that's what Ash says.
No. Okay, wait, no, stop. 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 It's happening.
It's happening again.
Oh my god. Guys, why does this keep happening again?
Guess what? I'm pretty sure this one's wrong, because I'm pretty sure it had to be Delibird.
Okay, wait, I'm sorry. Sea dot is what? Pure grass?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not seal, because seal is pure water. Get rid of it.
That's so crazy. Okay, I'm not the only person. I was watching a YouTube video the other day, and somebody else brought the same thing up on that video, where they were convinced that seal was a water ice type, and I thought the same thing, but apparently no. Are you shocked as I'm shocked? I thought it was an ice type.
I just kind of knew that. I don't know how.
Okay, so sea dot is just grass, okay. And surskit is what? Just bug?
Surskit is water bug.
Water bug, okay.
So it has an advantage over sea dot through bug, but it has a disadvantage because of water.
Sure. So then Delibird is ice and flying.
So it has two advantages over sea dot.
So then why is it not Delibird?
Because the trainer's choice is wrong.
Are we, though, wrong? Because I feel like...
Are we, though, wrong?
Are we, though, wrong? Are we, though?
Art thou wrong now, Mr. Krabs?
I'm sure there's some reason, obscure reason, that we are wrong.
Bulbapedia says Delibird's the correct option.
Okay, well, thank God we have Bulbapedia backing us up.
I think you need to stop doubting yourself. I think you need to just go with your instincts.
No, I've had plenty of, like, really stupid moments with the trainer's choice on this podcast, and so I'm demoralized to the point where I can't.
But the trainer's choice has had plenty of stupid moments with the trainer's choice. You can't trust it. It lies.
Yeah, but who's stupider, right? Who's stupider, trainer's choice or me for getting it wrong, even though it isn't hard to get wrong?
Well, one of you is a person, and the other one is a trivia section on a children's cartoon from 20 years ago. So I don't know. Which one of you is smarter? I don't know.
It's hard to say, really. It's just hard to say.
I will say this. I want everyone who needs to hear this, I want you to hear it. You are smarter than AI. You are smarter than ChatGPT. It's not a real thing. It's a fake. Don't believe it. Don't let it do the work for you. It's fake.
You're going to hate me, but I kind of just had a devious thought. What if we put into ChatGPT, hey, ChatGPT, make us a trainer's choice question.
We are not doing that because we are not burning down a forest just for that.
We don't need that. We can come up with dumb questions all on our own.
And we do every fucking day.
Every single day. Okay, well, that was great.
Was it?
No.
All right, the episode's continuing now. Meowth actually does draw in the lucky Spinda because it sees him and is like, what the fuck am I looking at? But it runs off. Instead, Jesse and James catch Meowth with their butterfly nets. Silly, 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 silly. And the Spinda does a teeter dance that leads to Team Rocket teeter dancing, and that leads to them falling off a cliff. LOL. I wish that was it, but there's more of them to come. Finally, Claire has a brain blast, and she's like, oh my god, I just realized where the lucky Spinda is going. It's probably going to the flower field that I first met it in, and that's why it's been running toward the flower field this entire time. I'm like, Claire, you're a fucking idiot. You're dumber than a trainer's choice.
Yeah, you know what? I don't feel so bad. Claire is really, she takes the cake on dumbness this episode. I feel like, why did she traumatize this thing, run after it this entire time, when she knew where it was, like, going to go?
Mm-hmm. And as soon as we arrive at the flower field, it runs up to her. And now it's all happy to see her because it's where it finally wanted to be this entire time. So it doesn't hate her, it just hates being around her when it's not in the flower field.
Oh my god. It can't stand her any other way.
I think the real reason was it misses its trainer, because we meet the Lucky Spinda's true owner, who is Kane, the pretty anime boy with the sparkles we saw earlier. Kane walks up. And Claire's like, oh, look, it's Kane. He's my fiancé, by the way. It's his Spinda.
What?
Okay, so it was not a lucky Spinda. She just feels lucky because it was because of the Spinda that she met Kane. And for some reason, they've all come to this flower field on the same time. I don't know why. Kane has been busy because he is what is known as a Pokemon adventurer who travels the nether regions of the world, seeking out Pokemon most unusual and rare.
Nether regions?
Does he go to Pokemon Hell?
Is he like a shiny hunter or something?
What are these rare Pokemon he's seeking? Because we didn't see any evidence of that.
Royce said unusual and rare, so that makes me feel like he's talking about like shiny Pokemon or something. I don't know.
Or Spindles with hearts on their faces.
Sure. You know, he should have like called out one of these like super rare Pokemon.
Yeah, I want to see.
Yeah, like what have you been up to, Kane? You left your fiance to take care of your Pokemon while you gallivant around, la-di-da, happy as can be, with no explanation.
I'm not entirely convinced these are real people. They're a little too simple for me, even by Pokemon standards.
I don't know. I feel like it just gave that whole, like, aristocratic trope.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Rich people are not like us. They are shallow and devoid of any thoughts whatsoever. That's true.
With, like a little hint of misogyny there. You know, Kane's like, Claire, be a dear and take care of all of my affairs while I go off and do whatever I want.
And do some random chick.
I mean, you can't rule it out.
We don't know what he was doing.
No, and I don't think he's gonna volunteer that information.
I think he gets a Claire and a Spinda in every port.
Probably.
He's like a bigamist. He has like secret wives.
This is so strange. It is so strange. And they don't seem to fit at all. Like, Kane is just like a modern dude with like blue jeans and a shirt on.
And sparkles.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. And then Claire is like out of like Steel Magnolias or something. Like, I don't know. There's a disconnect.
Maybe this is how Brock sees the world. Like, I think this is all his vision.
Yeah, is that it? Are we seeing everything through Brock's POV? Because this isn't right.
If this wasn't a Brock episode, they would be like normal people. But because it's a Brock episode, they're like filtered through the lens of Brock vision. And they're like the woman has nothing to her but like pretty. And his romantic rival is like, boy.
We did get the zoom in on Brock's like eye. So maybe that's when the shift happened. Yes, I love that.
That's going to keep coming back. I love when he's like, look into my eyes.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Anyway, Team Rocket attacks with a robot Spinda that they got from Popular Pokemon Magazine. Brock sends out all three of his Pokemon, which is how you know it's a Brock episode. And Mudkip and Lotad get their asses handed to them immediately. So Brock throws Fortress with the might of a fastball special, tells it to explode, and that takes care of Team Rocket.
Poor Fortress.
Yep. But hey, Fortress did something.
True.
So the episode is basically over. Claire and Kane go off to go fuck in the flower field while Royce records them with the camera. And
oh my god.
That's it. We're off to Petalburg City, I suppose.
Very snap and loopin and Dobby was watching energy.
Yes, it was. Well, they had the character depth of a My Immortal character.
They really did. This was somebody's fanfic. I don't know.
Not a great episode. I get with the Spinda, the only thing to it is it stumbles around and it has randomly generated spots. The only thing you can do with it is have a bunch of them and try and find a particular one. That's the only thing you can do.
I was thinking, like, if it wasn't this weird plot, like, what other Spinda shenanigans, like, what would a Spinda episode even, like, be? Like, I don't even know.
I mean, they could have leaned more into, like, the drunken angle, right?
You know, okay, wouldn't it have been fun if... I'm sorry. I know we abandoned the whole, like, annual festival angle many moons ago.
Spinda Town for the Spinda Festival.
Yes! Oh my god, what if we had, like, stumbled into Spinda Town? And they had a town full of Spindas, and it was, like, a beauty contest for Spindas, and, like...
Alex, write that down.
Write that down, okay.
That's a much better episode.
Maybe Claire and Kane could have been, like, in the contest together, and she loses her, like, award-winning Spinda before the competition or whatever, and they have to find it. I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe they could have done something with, like, less the Spinda was trying to run away from her, and more Spindas are just inherently kind of stupid and stagger around.
Yeah.
It could be like a lemming situation. It's like, oh my god, don't let it fall.
God, do you remember the crazy executor guy and like all the executors were like coming into town and they're like to explode the town?
Yes.
Oh my god.
That was a classic. We could have used more of that energy.
Yeah, bring back the wacky, crazy stuff.
All right. Not a big one. MVP, LVP, end quote.
No more to say on the big robo spinda. I thought that was fun.
Oh, there was a robo spinda.
It sounded like a grown man.
Oh, that might have been my quote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Spinda.
Flip. Spinda. Flip. I'm going first.
Okay.
My quote will be the robo spinda that says spinda.
Love it.
Oh, I do have a backup quote.
Okay.
But I'll say, do you have an Ash quote?
Do I have an Ash quote? I don't have an Ash quote. You're safe.
Okay, here's my real quote. At the beginning of the episode, Ash says to May Max, "Oh yeah, I forgot. Norman's your dad."
He really does live in his own delusional fantasy land.
He does not give a shit about anyone.
Has he absorbed any information? Does he even know his friends' names? Like, does he know anything at all? Like, I'm concerned.
Okay, Boob Misty and Little Boy, let's go.
Boob Misty, no! Oh my god, no! Oh god. Does he even know Brock?
He might think he's Tracy. I'm not sure.
God.
I don't know. Tracy's gone from Ash's brain. That's out of there. That's not there at all.
Oh god. It is true. He's forgotten Misty. He's forgotten Tracy. I'm sure he's forgotten his own mother at this point.
Oh, he's definitely... No, he hates his mother. He like actively is like, ugh.
Okay, early Ash, you know, he was kind of just a little, like, embarrassed about his mom. But as we'll see in, like, later series, like, we have talked about this extensively. Ash actively comes to resent Delia, and it's very obvious.
We're not there yet.
We're not yet, but it becomes, like, a focus.
My MVP is going to be Fortress for destroying the RoboSpinda in one
hell
attack.
Yeah, hell
that
yeah.
That was cool. My LVP, I guess I'll give it to Kane for not showing us what a Pokemon adventurer who seeks out rare and unusual Pokemon does. It's like, who the fuck are you? What the fuck is your story?
Hard to tell. Okay, was that all for you?
That was all for me.
My LVP is going to be Ash.
Of course.
Of course. For forgetting his friends and all the basic details of their lives.
I forgot you had a dad.
What?
I don't have a dad, so I forget about those.
That is pretty depressing, actually. Ash can't be bothered to even remember the most simplest of details, so that's pretty bad. Who should my MVP be?
Ooh, that's a hard one.
You know what? I guess Brock?
Oh.
For having the ability to go out of bounds, walk off the route.
I don't know if that's a good thing, but okay.
I don't know. I'm struggling. Also, Brock did the most stuff in this episode, I guess, so.
Not a great Brock episode. Mm.
No, but I was really grasping at straws. I don't know. Brock gets it because I don't have something better, funnier to say, so. My quote is, I have a couple. Can I just say a couple of them?
Yeah, who cares?
All right, who cares? This is when Team Rocket is blasting off for the final time after Fortress's used explosion. And Jesse says, "I'm so humiliated." James goes, "I can't imagine worse." And Meowth replies, "I've got a Spinda costume you can have."
I wanted to see that.
I know.
Because it was like body paint.
Could you imagine if Jesse and James put on like a leotard and Spinda body paint? That'd be funny.
Yes, I can imagine that, actually.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it's not so hard to imagine. The other quote I have is when Spinda uses Dizzy Punch on Team Rocket, and James says, "What are you doing confusing us? We're already confused." And then finally, another honorable mention, when Royce calls Brock a peculiar little man.
That was funny.
That's it.
All right. Ready for the next one?
Are you ready for the next one?
All play, no Torkoal?
Yeah, all play and no Torkoal. All right. 3, 2, 1... Torkoal.
All Torkoal and no play makes Ash a dull boy. All Torkoal and no play makes Ash a dull boy. All Torkoal and no play makes Ash a dull boy. All Torkoal and no play makes Ash a dull boy. All Torkoal and no play makes Ash a dull boy. Here's Ashy! All Torkoal and no play makes Ash the dull boy. You've always been the manager.
Time. Wow. How convenient that you got out of doing that summary for that.
Yes, how convenient indeed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Flash Challenge.
Yep.
Thank you for that very faithful rendition of The Shining. Thank you so much.
Oh, for the record, it's You've Always Been the Caretaker. I got it wrong.
Who says that?
What, the ghost.
Okay.
You need to rewatch The Shining.
Apparently. It's been a long, long time.
So do I, actually. I got the line wrong.
You should have watched it over Halloween.
I gotta watch Dr. Sleep. I still haven't gotten around to it.
All right.
Ooh, do you want to watch the 4.5-hour version of The Shining? The TV miniseries version that's more accurate to the book? I've never seen it.
I'm down to clown.
Let's do that this afternoon.
This afternoon?
No, maybe not.
I can't. I have to prepare for work. Ugh.
Oh, darn.
Okay, so we start out, though, with a, oh no, the twerps are lost.
Because Brock clipped them out of the fucking map.
Yeah. Remember what I said about Brock going out of bounds in that last episode?
God damn it, Brock.
So we're somewhere. I have no idea. I don't know how you can get lost trying to just go straight south to Mauville, but somehow in between, like, Route 111 and Mauville, there's an area that's like a valley that they have managed to get lost in.
May says, Brock, we should not have taken the shortcut.
Okay, let me go back and look at a map. Where on earth would there be a shortcut? In between, like, Route 117 and 112? Like, where's the shortcut?
I think Brock is trying to circumnavigate the entire Earth to get to where he wants to go.
Did they, like, go and step into, like, another dimension?
Yes.
Like, okay. Obviously. We are somewhere. God knows where. But before we can get our bearings and figure out which way to go, they see a Torkoal being absolutely, like, brutalized by two extremely aggressive Magnemite who are, like, shocking it to death in midair.
These were asshole Magnemite.
This was actually, like, really intense.
Torkoal was suffering.
I know. He was, like, screaming. It was very distressing, actually.
I'd cry, too.
I know. I was, like, really upset, actually. I'm like, this is terrible. The Magnemites are shocking Torkoal to death. A Skarmory is coming to try to, like, disembowel it while it's being suspended in midair. And the Torp's like, oh my god, this is horrific. We have to do something to help. But before they can do that, the Magnemites drop Torkoal on its shell, which I think some birds of prey actually do that with turtles. They'll, like, pick them up and fly them up and then drop them on rocks and stuff to crack them. So that was really intense as well.
God, dinosaurs will fuck you up.
They will. Luckily, Torkoal has a very impenetrable shell, and it's not really hurt that bad when it falls on its back. And the Torps manage to drive off the aggressors and rescue Torkoal, but it runs away. Like, really fast for a tortoise. They attempt to find their way through wherever they are, but once again are attacked by the Magnemite. And Ash and Pikachu really have no luck fending them off. So Max jumps in. Thank God for Max. And he's like, you know, May, you're contractually obligated to have Torchic appear. So you should probably call it out and give it some screen time.
May would never use Torchic if Max didn't tell her to do so every few episodes.
Exactly. She doesn't even think about it. And honestly, it's kind of getting a little old. I'm like, can you, like, use your Pokemon for once? Like, why do you keep forgetting this? So she's like, well, why would I do that, Max? And Max is like, it's a fire type, and those are steel types. So she's like, wow, great idea. So they see an explosion in the distance, and they're like, oh my god, what is that? Let's go over to it. Let's run towards the danger. So they run up and they see more Magnemites and the Skarmory from before attacking the same Torkoal. And Skitty pops out and she's like, Skitty, what are you doing out here? And Max is like, once again, having to think for her. And he's like, well, Skitty can help with assist because it could use one of Torchic's moves and, you know, maybe give a little bit more firepower. Skitty comes out to help, but it uses the wrong move, which... assist is random, right? I don't think Skitty can help what move comes out. No. So it uses String Shot from Beautifly, which is helpful anyway because it kind of slows the Magnemite down and then it's able to drive them away once Torkoal jumps in. And Skarmory and Magnemite are chased off, but then it collapses from exhaustion, which, who can blame it? This poor thing has just been pushed to the limit. They nurse it back to health, and it turns out that this particular Torkoal is very excitable and has a habit of getting excited and blowing coal exhaust out of its nose holes and covering everyone in soot.
While crying.
While crying happy tears because it's so emotional.
It leaks from every orifice all at once.
God. It's cute, I guess. I love it when they give Pokemon little quirks.
The crying Torkoal.
The crying emotional
Torkoal.
Yeah.
That's adorable. I love that.
It is. It really is. So suddenly, Brock has a revelation. This is classic Brock. And he shares this revelation with the class, and he's like, you know what? I think we're in the Valley of Steel.
Oh!
Oh! What the hell? Max also helpfully chimes in that he too has heard of this place. Because it turns out a Nurse Joy at the Pokemon Center that they had stopped at recently was like, you know what? You should avoid this Valley of Steel place because it's dangerous.
And Brock was like, let's make a beeline to the Valley of Steel.
Oh my God, how helpless can you be? Why are we only just now getting this, like, mid-episode revelation of where we are?
Why was that not at the start of the episode? I don't understand.
I don't know. And why aren't there, like, signposts? Like, is there never a sign that says, caution, now entering Valley of Steel or wherever they are?
Admittedly, it is a big valley. I can't expect every single square inch to be covered in signs.
That's true. I don't know. I just feel like this might have been, to your point, like something that should have stuck out in their minds, like originally, as they're standing there overlooking the valley area with the steel-type Pokemon. I just want to say, how cool would this have been if this was in the game?
I was thinking, where's Steven Stone?
Yeah, this would be a prime area.
It's his area.
Rocky area must have a lot of stones in there and also steel types. I really love steel types. I think it's one of my favorite Pokemon types. And I would have loved to have a place like dedicated to being able to catch some strong Pokemon in like the mid area of the game.
What struck me was how few steel types there were.
I mean, at this point, what are our steel type options?
Well, where are Aeron and its evolutions?
Yeah, we basically got just Gen 1 and Gen 2 Pokemon. That is a good point. Where was Aeron and Laron and an Aggron, maybe?
And a Mawile.
We haven't seen Mawile yet.
No, we haven't seen the Beldum line either, but they should have been there.
I don't know. Do you think that would have been the appropriate place to introduce, like, Beldum? I think Beldum's kind of special.
No, we gotta... We're still on the formula. If we haven't had a focus episode yet, it can't appear in the background for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a weird shift that we've gone from that, like having a dedicated episode for every Pokemon, to like now they don't even bother and they just sort of like appear as cameos in the background, if that.
Because otherwise they would never appear.
I know.
We're talking modern day, by the way. We're talking like
yes.
Current decade.
Which, to be fair, I think it's a consequence of there just being a lot more Pokemon now than there was back in Gen 3. And it's just impossible to, like, include every single one as, like, their own episode, but...
Oh, you know who should live in the Valley of Steel?
Who?
Reggie Steel.
Oh, God. That would have been fun. See, this is why this should have existed in the game. That would have been perfect. We're here in the Valley of Steel. Thank you, Brock and Max, for helpfully letting us know that after the fact. Jesus.
3 hours into the Valley of Steel, we remembered it exists.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Max and Brock are like, oh, God, we should probably, like, turn back and get out of here. But Ash and May are kind of the same opinion. And they're like, you know what? We're already halfway through. We might as well just push through the rest of the way. Get to Mauville. But Brock is like, I don't know. Torkoal's injuries seem like... I don't think that's just from the Magnemite and Skarmory. I think it was hurt earlier by something even stronger. And we better be careful because they keep hearing like something and they're like, there's something else out here. I wonder what it could be. It should have been an Aggron. Spoiler alert, it's not. But it turns out he's right. There is a stronger Pokemon in the valley. And Team Rocket encounters it first. Also, don't we have a trainer's choice? I feel like this is a place where we need a trainer's choice.
No, I think the trainer's choice was, like, really late.
Really? Okay, I'll keep going then. Just remember to stop me. Team Rocket encounters the strongest boss of this Valley of Steel, and that would be a Steelix, which is really cool, truth be told. I love Steelix.
I knew you were like this. I knew it.
I love Steelix. You know how I feel about Steelix. It's great.
Is this the first time we've seen a jackass wild Steelix? I feel like that's a pretty common archetype for Steelix to appear in.
As being like a like an antagonist?
Yes. I feel like Steelix and Onyx, too, are oftentimes just like big assholes in the wild.
Which is like really ironic considering how gentle and wonderful and loving Brock's Onyx was from the get-go.
Yes. Sweetheart with a bow wrapped around his neck.
I have to ask, this is kind of a Pokeball mechanics sort of question. Is it the taming of the Pokemon? Is it the mellowing out like once they're caught type of situation? Or do you think this one was just generally gentle?
I still think we can rationally conclude that Flint saw this super sweet little young Onyx. And was like, that would be a good first Pokemon for Brock, who is my now 10-year-old son.
Do you ever do like I do and, you know, ascribe like a game nature to the anime Pokemon?
What are the natures? I can never remember them.
I can't remember them all off the top of my head, but like I feel like Brock's Onyx would be gentle natured.
Oh, okay. I just Googled the word nature.
Nature.
What was I thinking?
You might want to put like Pokemon somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's what I did. Not my brightest moment.
Isn't Ash's like Rash or something, the Pikachu?
That makes sense with episode one, yeah.
I want to say, like, some of the giveaways in the game when the natures have been locked. Is it Rash?
We're gonna find out.
I like doing it. I think it's a little fun experiment, being like, which natures would, like, their Pokemon have if they were in the games?
Apparently, Brock's Onyx / Steelix has never had a locked nature that you can own.
Really?
Is that true? Interesting. Oh, they don't have natures in Let's Go.
Yeah, no, there's no natures in Let's Go. And I don't think there's abilities either.
Oh.
What about, okay, like if we were just thinking about it, I don't necessarily know if we have time to go through all of them, but like I feel like the main ones, like Fortress might be like docile or something. Onyx would be gentle. Torkoal, what would Torkoal be? I think that's the last one. Let's just figure out that one and then we can move on.
Okay.
Quirky.
Quirky, I think for sure, quirky.
Quirky, okay.
Here's other options for Onyx. Calm, that's a nature.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. That could work.
Docile, you said that. Relaxed.
Relaxed, yeah. A lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess Steelix just has that look about it where it's just kind of like big and imposing and dangerous and it's still pretty cool. Team Rocket encounters the Steelix who blasts them off into the upper atmosphere. And they basically pretty much re-enter orbit and crash down onto the Twerps. As soon as they land, they continue to fall farther into a canyon, like, gorge that the Twerps almost ran into themselves. So goodbye, Team Rocket. Unfortunately, May, like, the ground crumbles beneath her feet and she falls into the gorge. But she manages to grab a branch and is hanging there.
Trainers!
Oh, here we go. Trainers! Finally.
Which one of these Pokemon evolves into Camerupt? Torkoal, Slugma, or Numel?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Numel.
You were correct.
Woohoo! I'm so smart.
Yeah, no need for an existential crisis on that one.
So back to May's dangerous situation that she's in. She's hanging there and she's holding Torchic. So she's basically holding herself up with one arm. Jeez, pretty impressive.
I'm like a dead branch.
I know. I was waiting for
it's like a root from something. Like
falling. Yeah, I thought she was going to like fall for sure. And an angry Magneton appears and like electrocutes May. It's very shocking. LOL. And Ash is like, I have an idea. So he uses Torkoal as like an anchor to tie a rope to Torkoal and like kind of rappel down the canyon wall to grab May. And it made me wonder, how much does Torkoal weigh?
I looked it up. 177 pounds.
177 pounds. Okay, well, that's interesting. So Torkoal is there anchoring them, and he grabs May and helps her out. So they avoid, you know, a life-threatening situation and make their way to the edge of the valley, and they're almost out, finally. But they're not quite there yet. They're attacked by the Steelix, so we can have one final showdown between Steelix and Torkoal, since Steelix is the arch-nemesis. And I thought this part was pretty interesting. Ash takes this whole situation personally, and he refers to Torkoal as his Torkoal. He's like, you hurt my Torkoal. It's on. And so he's like, okay, how do we win this battle against this powerful Pokemon? So unlike remembering that Norman is Max and May's dad, he does remember that Flannery used a Torkoal and that it has a move called Overheat.
He remembers battle stuff.
That's the only thing he cares about.
Only thing he cares about. He remembered Norman exists because he battled Norman, but he didn't remember his relation to May and Max.
That's ridiculous. You know, okay, you told me yesterday that Rory was the most self-centered character in TV, but I'm pretty sure it's Ash. I'm pretty sure it's Ash.
Now there's a match made in hell, Ash and Rory.
Good lord, could you imagine? The Gilmore Girls and Pokemon crossover you never knew you needed.
That's a fan fiction right there.
Holy shit. Oh god, what would that even be? A nightmare. Okay, so he's like, oh my god, Overheat, let's use that move. Not to draw this out any longer, Steelix pops out from using a dig attack, and Torkoal manages to melt it down into liquid metal, and they win. Hooray.
That was cool.
Melting Steelix down?
Yeah, I like how Ash was, you know, using his trainer brain, and he was like, okay, the Steelix is going to emerge any moment. What we got to do is we have this one-shot attack, basically, and we got to time it right, so we attack it when it's not expecting that to happen, when it pops out like a whack-a-mole. I thought it was a pretty good implementation of how a human mind can assist Pokemon with its battling prowess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm. Well, apparently Ash isn't the only one who suffers from amnesia, because May helpfully chimes in. So that's an overheat?
Bad line. Whoops.
What? And I'm like, May, were you not like there? You saw Torkoal, Flannery's Torkoal, use overheat. But maybe, I don't know, maybe she was like not paying attention or something. I don't know. Good God. They successfully beat Steelix. Great job. And they get out of the Valley of Steel. Ash manages to make a new friend and catch a brand new Pokemon because he's like, Torkoal, do you want to join us? Come along. Be my buddy, my pal. And Torkoal is overjoyed and absolutely agrees and goes with Ash. So yay!
Hooray! We needed Torkoal. Torkoal was a necessary ingredient.
I know. I'm a little sad that they didn't show him, like, actually catching it. That did not happen on screen, but Ash has a new Pokemon, so he says he's got a fire type on his team, and, yeah, a little bit of a powerhouse now.
Thank God for Corphish and Torkoal.
Yeah, they're the real MVPs.
Having Ash not be constricted to the starters was such a good call.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a big fan when Ash is the one who gets, like, all the starter Pokemon. I like it that they distributed it out. Like, Brock has Mudkip, May has Torchic, and, you know, Ash has Treecko. So, I mean, sadly, we don't see Mudkip a whole lot.
We hardly see Torchic at this point.
I feel like that's, like, purposeful now on May's part. Like, she really doesn't use her Pokemon. I'm like, come on, girl. Yeah, so, a big milestone for Ash. And that's it.
Flip it, flip it, flip, flip, flip. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
There it goes. Okay, it landed on head.
Just like Team Rocket, down into the abyss.
It landed on heads in the abyss.
Okay.
What you didn't see was that thing refracted off like three surfaces on the way down.
Gosh.
Okay, I guess I'm first.
A thumb of steel.
MVP, Torkoal.
Of course.
LVP, Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah. My quote is the best one, which is Ash screaming at May when she's hanging from the branch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the best one. Ash says, May, we'll get you back up here. Just stay where you are. And May, who's hanging hundreds of feet in the air from a tiny little branch with one hand, says, where does he think I might go exactly?
Oh, Ash. My MVP is gonna be...
It's gonna be May.
You know what? May might. No. I'm going to give it to Ash.
Oh, okay.
I know I never really give it to Ash, but sometimes I do. I'll give it to Ash because, you know, he had a good moment where he recalled his match with Flannery and used some previous experience to use this wild Pokemon in battle, basically, and win. So good for him. My LVP is going to be May. She's my LVP because...
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I feel like May should know better at this point. We've been through enough. I feel like... I don't know if she necessarily has an excuse to continue to keep forgetting these critical elements of, like, being a trainer. Like, fire against steel would really help out. And, like, you know, not using Torchic when she should, or, like, her other Pokemon to, like, help them out in situations that they need help in.
And maybe we should train Torchic so it knows more than just Ember.
Yeah, like, do something. I mean... She spent all her time training with Beautifly for the contest, and, like, now that she's won, we haven't seen her do anything else. Like, what's your plan, girlfriend? And the fact that Max has to continuously remind her to, like, use her brain in any capacity. I think she's... We're past this. We're past this.
Clearly we're not.
Well, we should be, is what I'm saying here. My quote, since Austin took the best one, the only other one I have, is when May gets lucky with Skitty using assist and, like, string shot coming out to help stop the Magnemites, Max says, "But that's not even what you were trying to do. It was just luck that it worked on them." And May replies, "Who cares? It's the end result that matters."
I'm on her side on that one.
Yeah, it worked out, so I guess it really does, just the end result's the only thing. That matters.
Great.
Great.
Well, what are we going to do next week? That is an interesting question.
That's a million-dollar question. What are we doing next week, Austin?
I don't know. You tell me, Alex. You tell me.
Okay, so we had an idea. Since we don't have any more, like, official Pokemon Christmas episodes or Pokemon Christmas Bash music CDs or anything to kind of talk about, we had a thought that we were going to do some... general Christmas trivia game.
I think there should be some Pokemon Christmas trivia in there as well.
Yeah, we'll throw in some, like, Pokemon Christmassy related stuff, but I think it's going to be in the style of, like, a Jeopardy type of trivia, and we're going to have some special guests on, so we have more than just me and Austin to play a trivia game.
Oh my god, knock on wood this works out.
I know.
If not, we're going to have to figure something else out.
We'll see. It's a little bit of a different episode, so we hope that you guys will join us for a little bit of festive cheer heading into the holiday season. A little bit of a departure. It's not really an episode per se, but it'll be fun. Like I said, special guests, a lot of laughs, so we hope to see you guys next week and join us for that.
Leave 5 stars.
Austin, any final thoughts on these?
I kind of wish the Valley of Seal episode was more Tremors-like. Was Steelix playing the role of the monster, the sandworm?
Ooh.
You've seen that movie, right?
I have not, actually.
It's so good.
Add it to the pile, my friend.
It is so good. I think it's on Tubi.
Tubi has it for you.
Maybe it's not, though. I could be wrong.
We'll have to check that out.
It's Kevin Bacon.
It's what? Oh, God, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, and Reba's in it.
Oh, what? That's so random.
It's a wild movie. It's so good.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe we can watch that and see what that's about. Well, if you don't have any final thoughts, I guess we can wrap it up there.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
No glove, no love.
All play and no Torkoal. Something.
Is that going to be your episode title? We'll discuss it.
Okay, bye. Thank you guys so much for joining us. As always, we really enjoy talking about these episodes, and we hope you guys enjoyed it too. If you want to get in touch with us and let us know your thoughts... You can always do that. We have our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our Blue Sky handle is @outofthedryingpan. You can check that out. Follow us over there. We also have our Instagram, same handle, @outofthedryingpan. And if you want to support us, we would really, really appreciate it. We've got all kinds of cool bonus content and extras over on our Patreon. You can find the link in the description. And as always, we love to say thank you guys so, so much for hanging out with us today, joining us, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.